something that's pretty close to my heart, and it is our feelings. We are a very touchy-feely society. And it's funny because communication in so many ways is at an all-time low, while we've never had things more at our fingertips. It's kind of insane to me. We like to say, I'm fine, you're fine, everything's fine, and really nothing is fine. But we say it just because that's a part of us that's transformed into our society. And I encourage you not to be integrated into the society that we're in. Because most of our society does not stand for anything good. It's time that the believer get to know who they really are in Jesus, and we start acting like how we portray ourselves on Sundays. Amen. I encourage you to be the same person every day. And I encourage you to get to know who you are. I want to speak to you tonight on feelings. Some of the worst mistakes that I've made in my life has been when I made decisions, big decisions, out of emotion. And you can look at most scenarios, and anytime there was an offense, anytime there was an irritation and agitation, anytime there was somebody not getting along, what you see there, when you brush all of the emotion away, what you really see is an unmet expectation. Something did not meet your expectations. It has you disappointed in some type of way. And in our feelings is room for a lot of error. A lot of error. There's any time that there's high emotion, there's a lot of room for a lot of mistakes. How many of you got a pair of fat pants that you got at home? Okay. I'm going to preach where we live. My fat pants, I've been having to get worse because, you know, I'm going to try to do something about that next week or so. But you got room to grow in those things. They're probably elastic, okay? Anytime you got a lot of emotion going on, you got a lot of room to make a lot of dumb choices. A lot of times we make those dumb choices. But you also have a lot of room to make some very good, definitive choices, decisions. The Word of God wakes you up and it tells you every day, you choose you this day. What do you want? Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? See, you get to make a choice every single day. And I'm going to encourage you today to get your emotions and to get your feelings in line with how the Word of God tells you to deal with them. Am I saying that you can't be emotional? Nope, be emotional. We were made in His image. God has emotion. That's why you see in His Word where it says, God was angry. God was this. God was that. We were made in His image, and God has emotions. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I'm glad all our young folks over here and over here, we've got our Bibles. I think that is great. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and it says, above all else, or most importantly, guard your heart. Guard your heart. You know, when you're guarding something, you're protecting it. You have to protect your heart. You have to protect it. There has to be a little bit of a reservation there because your heart is responsible for a lot of stuff. It says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. What does that mean? Your heart, all the issues of life, all of the things, it's all up in there. That's why you got to guard it. You got to guard it. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10. I say all the time, feelings are not facts. Feelings are not facts. You can feel a way and it be completely inaccurate. That's the problem with feelings. We can feel a way and it not be the reality of the situation. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we say, how can our feelings be so off? Well, I'll tell you, your heart gets involved, and your heart can really screw you up. It can mess you up. The word says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Young people, look at Pastor. I'm going to tell you, your heart can straight up tell you a lie. It can. It can. We've lived long enough. We're almost 40. You're almost 40. I'm 40. You're getting there.
I'll be there.
You're going to be there. Probably March, right? Yep. Okay, I thought it was pretty well after me. But your heart can lie to you, and your heart can tell you things, and you can get on board with your feelings, or you can get on board with what God says, because God's word does not return void. There's not one thing that God has said that's not a lie. The word of God says he's not a man that he should lie. Now, your feelings can lie to you. Frank and I have this discussion almost in every argument that we have. And we don't argue a lot. But when we do, I say, now, Frank, this is how I feel. And then right there in that moment when I say that, he starts looking perplexed. Because let me explain something to you. We get so disappointed when people don't understand how we feel. And we get irritated and upset and agitated and offended because people don't understand how we feel about something. Let me just tell you, people are not going to be able to understand exactly how you feel because you don't even understand how you feel all the time. Do you ever notice that about yourself? You'll be upset about something. Or you think that you're upset about one thing, and you'll go a little further into the day only to discover you really ain't upset about that. You're upset about a whole nother deal over here that happened last week. That's the thing about our emotions. Some people are emotional people. I'm an emotional person. That can either be my biggest, best thing, or it can be my worst downfall. We have to learn how to guard the heart because the heart itself is a liar. It is deceitful. It has the ability to lie to you and to tell you things that are not true, that are not accurate, and that are not reality. You know, a lot of believers feel all alone. Yet we serve a God who promises and tells us over and over and over in so many ways, I will never leave you. Am I telling you that your feelings are terrible? No. But I'm telling you that you have to manage them. You have to manage them because they'll get you offset in your life. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can know it? Who can understand it? Thank God that we serve a God that knows our feelings better than we do. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct. See, that's something that we are steering very far away from in this society, is that nobody wants to take responsibility for how they act. Nobody wants to. People want to be able to do anything and it be acceptable. And that is why there's not a whole bunch of people just flooding the churches, is because the truth of the matter is the moment a pastor gets behind a pulpit and begins to read the Word of God, it does not attract a lot of people, because people want to do their own thing and they want to be told that it's okay. And our heart gets involved in that way of thinking, and then before we know it, we cannot be corrected, we cannot be talked to, we cannot be guided. God wants to be able to lead His sheep. The Word of God says, "Now my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow." And the places where we get off in our life, the Word of God says, "Now it is the little foxes that spoil the vine." It's those little places where we just allow ourselves to have a total binge buffet on all of our feelings. You know, you can feel a lot of things and not a one of them be right. We don't operate off of how we feel. We should operate off of who does God say that we are, and how should we be? How should we conduct ourselves? See, it says, "I, the Lord, I search the heart." I search it. I search every deceitful thing that we could possibly have in there. Why does He search it? To help us clean it up. To help us clean it up. You know, I'm all the time, I'll think something, Paul, and I'm like, I shouldn't think that. Now, on my good days, I'll say, I'm going to stop thinking that right now. But on my bad days, I'm like, how many of you ever, you like ice cream sundaes with the hot fudge and the nuts and the things? Okay, me too. I'm like, I'm going to think that thought. I'm going to eat it up. I'm going to put the whipped cream on it. We're going to do all the things. We're going to eat those thoughts, because there's something about thinking the wrong way that just gratifies our flesh. But before you know it, you have gotten off on a tangent that isn't even accurate. And we get upset with people and places and things, and we start wondering what's wrong with them when the problem is us. And we want to shift the responsibility onto the next person, because that is what this world has trained us to do, that it's nobody's fault. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I am looking at, I believe, what is the very best of the best type of people. And we have got to level up and own every single part of our life. And in the places in 2025 where we made wrong calls because we were in an emotion, we were upset, we were irritated, we were in our feelings, we can and we must do better. Because there is somebody that only you can reach. There is a God that needs you at your very best, because the one thing that you can take out of this life is souls, and that's up to us to be able to do that. We are going to either be His hands and feet, or we're going to say, "No, God, I'm going to keep eating those feelings." Miss Gina, I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to laugh at this. You have become just somebody that I absolutely just adore. And I'm really glad that you're in this church. I really am. You're such a blessing. I want to be like you when I'm older. She is the most stylish person, I think, in the whole church. Now, I haven't made my living off of not keeping it real. Can we keep it real tonight? How many of you got somebody you just don't like? I hate to say that, but pastors are no different. And Nancy, there's times where, for whatever reason, they're just somebody we don't like. Maybe they done something to us.
Glory to God.
I don't know. We probably up in our feelings too much. And recently, well, actually all last year, We're going to keep that part of it real, too. I was so agitated with a person, and I kept thinking, why can I just not stand that person? I don't like to not like people, because I know that God's not good with that. And when I was able to just kind of clear the table off and really meditate on what exactly my problem was, see, you need to know what your problem is and stop sugarcoating it and giving yourself a free pass to just be something that God never intended you to be. And I thought, what is my deal with this specific person? And what I discovered about myself when I was able to be honest with myself, it was that that person had, I felt like, betrayed me, and I just couldn't take the betrayal. Let me tell you something. There's times in life where you just have to make a choice that you're going to be the bigger person and you're going to be the one that's more, has more integrity.
That's true.
And that is not an easy thing to do. And God began to ask me, do you care more about hating their guts or do you care more about their soul? Which one do you care more about? Well, Brother Mike, it took me a while to be able to answer that question the correct way. See, you're not going to come in here and let me play a violin to you and get you all up in your feelings. I'm going to get you in those feelings where you want to be straight up honest with yourself. So we can walk out of here and be actual saved. And I said, God, help me not to dislike that person. But I'm disappointed. See, can you get over your disappointment? Can you get over that? Can you move past it? Can we all understand that we're not the most important people in the whole world? Can we all understand that we too have been a disappointment to someone else? That we've offended someone else? See, we're not the only ones that's had our feathers ruffled or the only ones that's gotten ourselves offended or all up in our feelings. See, the same thing that we could be upset with someone else about, I guarantee you, we've done that to someone else in some way.
Yes.
Somebody told me recently about this person that I've had so much trouble with. And it's not because they've given me trouble. It's because I made the trouble in my mind. I want to talk to you about your mind for a moment here. You can make up more stuff in your head than is actually the reality of the situation. I'm going to say that one more time. You can make up. I'm going to preach this where we live. Mark, you're going to have to overlook this because I'm going to keep this real. We come up with more crap that is not even the actual truth in our head, and we get ourselves on a tangent, and the only person, well, not the only person, but the main person we're hurting is ourselves, because on one hand, we want God to level us up, and we want to go forward and do what we're supposed to do in life and all of the things, but we are the one person that can hold us back. See, our enemies cannot hold us back. The Word of God says, you know what? The doors that I'm going to open for you, ain't nobody can close those. The doors that I close, ain't nobody can open those for you. But we can get in our own way and forfeit our own blessing because we can come up with some stuff that ain't even really how it even went down. Do we understand how much that our mind embellishes things to us? It's like, how many of you ever heard of a bedazzler? They used to have those when I was growing up, but I always wanted one. You put your jewels on your pants and you do all the things. And you know what? That's what we do to all of our stories that we retell. We just add a little bit to everything that we say till there comes a point it's gotten so far from what actually happened. But the problem, it's a problem when we do that with other people, but it's more of a problem when we do that in our mind. And this person, very close to this person I have a problem with, I am a very hard-headed person. I don't know how God puts up with me, but I know that there's a God because he has changed my heart on a lot of things. Nobody could do that but God. Think about how much God has changed you. I don't worry about sitting there arguing with people that don't believe in God. I'm not the one sitting there thinking that he's not real. I know that God's real, and I know that if anybody wants to be around me, they're going to also understand that he's real too, because he's going to be so good to them. They're not going to have an option on whether or not they're going to believe with him. There's going to be beyond the shadow of a doubt. Why? Because these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And then he lists off stuff. See, God wants to bless you, but he also wants to bless you with a mind that's going to help you make sense of everything. And we can't do that when we're replaying stuff that didn't even happen the way that it did. But somebody came to me and they said, Pastor Kelly, I know you've had an issue with this person, and they have. They've done you dirty. They've done you bad. They've done you wrong. There's no denying it. But in private, they get their little headphones on, and they pull up your sermons on their phone. And they hear you. Jill, I'm going to level with you. And I'm going to be very honest. I have hated this person. I've disgusted this person. See, I'm a pastor, but I'm also a person. And the second that I start acting like I'm better than anybody, that's the day God don't need me here. I have felt every which way about this person besides the way that I should. And when I heard that they were listening to my messages, that did something to my heart. And I said, God, change me. The whole time, the whole last year, I was praying the prayer because of my feelings. God, change them. Change them. I promise you, Miss Brenda, God was wanting to change me the whole time. The whole time. God can change that other person like a piece of cake. Not a problem. Sometimes the biggest problem is the way that we feel. It stands in our way of being able to move forward. Sometimes the way that we have allowed ourselves to feel stands in the very way of us being able to just move forward. And we rack our head, we get so frustrated with life, and we say, all I want to do is just be able to move on and move forward. Keep a very close eye on your feelings. They cannot, if you won't manage your feelings are going to manage you. They will rule you. They will take over you to where you can't act right. You won't go into certain stores because you see people there. You won't be able to function. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct and according to what his deeds deserve. Go with me to Psalms chapter 139. We're going to look at verses 23 through 24. Psalms chapter 139, verses 23 through 24. Here's David. And he asks God to do something. And here's what he asked. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See, it's impossible for you to really know your own heart on every single intricate fold. Do you know how many different folds and how many layers of emotions that God's got to rummage through to get to really who you really are? And yet he does it so well. He knows you better than you know yourself. Going into this year, you need to find yourself in this prayer and you need to ask God, search me, O God, and know my heart. See, David wasn't asking God, Lord, help me figure out my own heart. David was asking God, Lord, I'm asking you right now for you to search my heart. God, I'm asking for you to know my heart. And then he asked him to do something else that most people don't even have the guts to ask God to do. Because when you start asking God to do certain things, man, God is going to do exactly what you asked him to do. He says, test me. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. When is the last time you just asked God, Lord, test me. God, know my heart. And God, know my anxious thoughts. God knows what's going to give you anxiety before the anxiety ever shows up in that day. If you're a person that suffers with anxiety, and I can preach about this because I live it, you do real good to ask God, Lord, know my anxiety. God, know it so well that you can help me to get that out of my life so you don't have to live anxious. You don't have to. Do many people? Yes, they do. Many people, I would say most people, settle for many things that God never ordained for their life. They just don't know that they can have anything any better. Because they don't get into the Word and they don't see what God says that you can really have. But it says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Verse 24 is one of the most important things, I think, for people to do in their life. See if there is any offensive way in me. He asks him, God, look inside of my heart. Look inside of my life. God, see if there's anything inside of there that's offending you. We are very quick. Humanity is very quick to get our little feathers ruffled. We are very quick to get offended. You have an opportunity to get offended probably 100 times in a day. It's really however often you get on Facebook for sure. It's as many times as you walk into work. It's as many times as you go out in public. You have so many opportunities to get offended. But what we need to really transition our thinking is, God, is there anything in my life that is offending you? Meditate on that. Ask God, Lord, do I have something or some things in my life that is offending you? Do you know and do you understand that you have the ability to offend the living God? The maker of heaven and earth, we have the ability to offend him. I'm asking you as your pastor, in your quiet time and in your prayer life, ask God, God, search me. Lord, examine me. God, tell me if there's anything that I'm doing or anything that I'm thinking or any way that I'm feeling that's offending you, God. Because I don't believe that people just search out to offend God. We just do it because it's a habit. We get into habits of doing certain behaviors. And we make over them like they're okay because God will understand. Yes, God understands when you're just not going to do his will. He understands it. It's just like when we have a kid and they won't do something that we're telling them to do. God will never tell you to do something that's not for your good. God will more than likely multiple times in your life tell you to do something that you won't understand. That's where you're going to have to trust him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 5. What are some things that can offend God? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I believe that one of the main things that can offend God is the thoughts that we allow ourselves to think. The thoughts that we allow ourselves to think. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It's your job to take the thoughts and to make them obedient to Jesus Christ. Ask God to put that speed bump in between your thoughts and your mouth. Because that's also a big way that we offend God, is we speak when we should have kept our mouth shut. And a lot of times we speak when we don't have all the actual facts in front of us, and we end up saying things that we actually know very little about. But we think we know a lot about them, so we think that we can talk about it. We take every thought captive. We take every thought captive. Started telling God, Lord, I don't want to think those mean thoughts about that person. God, it's obvious that you don't need to change them near as much as you need to change me. So God, I'm asking you to change me. Lord, it's only taken me a year to have that epiphany, but God, please do that. And please don't let it take another year. God, deal with me. Because see, truth of the matter is I'm a pastor. And Angel, there is a standard for the way that people should act. Sometimes I say, well, I'm a person first. Yeah, I am. But see, the moment that you answer the call of God on your life, you got to stop thinking like a loser and giving yourself free passes to do things that you shouldn't be doing and you shouldn't be thinking and you shouldn't be saying. A lot of my days here lately, I have felt like I've had to wrestle my own self and my own feelings to the ground. And by the time I crawl into bed, it's exhausting. Anybody else feel like that? You're like, oh my gosh. I got enough to deal with just with dealing with myself. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's so funny. Those of y'all that have kids, I'm sure most of everybody in this room has had kids, or you've got them now and you're raising them. And if you've got more than one kid, you've probably got a sneaky one. You've probably got a sneaky one. And then one that's just like, I'm not even going to bother sneaking around. It just is going to be what it's going to be. And Carson is always telling me, Mom, Colton is not this sweet, precious little boy that you think that he is. I mean, I know that you just think he is perfect, but he does stuff to me too. And in the back of my mind, I know that. But there's something about your baby where you just believe the absolute best about that last child that you birthed. And I kid you not. I don't know. I don't know what it is. You know, your first kid, it's like you think that they are so brilliant and they're so great that they can just literally walk on water. Like, I don't, you know, Carson, I try not to embarrass him, but Jill, I think this kid is so brilliant. And when I sit and I think, y'all, do you ever just sit and think about your kids and you just swell up with just how much that you love them and just how proud of them that you are, and you love your children. Now, I'm going to tell you, God loves you in here. God loves you so much. And I guarantee you, he sits up in heaven and he thinks about you. You're always on his mind. Always. Brenda, Colton is not perfect. Carson was sitting over here, Sophie, right where you're sitting after church was over. And Colton is the sneaky one. And here I am, I'm sitting over here and I'm cleaning, I'm doing some stuff. You know, we decided it was a great idea to give 100 people candles today. That's why we only do it once a year. And I was getting some wax off of something. And Colton literally goes up to Carson's head in the back and goes, and just like a really loud pop right by his ear. And I flung around and I pointed my finger at him. And I gave him a butt chewing, and Carson goes, I told you he wasn't perfect. What am I telling you? Find yourself in that illustration. You know, a lot of times we're telling God, well, God, this one over here, and God, this one over there, and Lord, that one, and this one, and why do they get away with this, and I don't, and all the things, and we're so worried about what everybody else is doing, and what they look like they're getting away with, and what they're able to do, and all of the things. God wants you to be so committed to his will in your life, you're not concerned with what everybody else is doing. You're telling God, Lord, search me. God, examine me. God, change me. Lord, from the inside out, God, let it be sincere, the change that you want to do in my life. Because I'm telling you what, I know somebody really needs you. Somebody really needs the God that's inside of you. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Where do these feelings happen? In your mind and in your heart. You keep dwelling on them so long, they're going to come out in your actions and in your speech. They're going to come out in your actions and in your speech. And a lot of times, there's a lot of error. When you've spoken out of emotion, error. Brenda, babe, I was doing it last night. To poor Frank. I thought, we're going to have to go to bed because this blabbermouth of mine is not going to shut up in this poor man. Y'all just think about your life. Think about it. Think about your feelings. If you're praying for somebody, and I hope you're praying. I hope you don't just read the Bible when you come in here. I hope you have a prayer life. But when you're praying, it's like a scope on binoculars. Let's get some things a little bit more magnified this year. And if you're praying for God to change somebody, you need to re-examine that situation, and you may just need to say, God, change me. God, change me. The other person isn't the problem, it's you. And we say, well, you don't know what they did. It was probably awful. Have people done you wrong? Absolutely. They absolutely have. And I'm not making light of it. But sometimes we can allow ourselves to feel so much hatred towards somebody because of what they've done that we miss a part of what we're supposed to have in our life because we will not choose to manage our feelings. Last place for me tonight, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. The problem with our feelings is the moment we decide that we're going to live in the feeling, there goes our peace. The moment we decide to live in our feelings, there goes our peace of mind. There goes the peace of God that passes all understanding. See, you got to let your peace go to be able to take on that frustration. We do it all the time. I do it. It's not good. It's something I'm working on. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you. Where have you missed it? Probably in the fact that when something has irritated you, when somebody has done you wrong, your mind got fixed on them instead of fixed on God, and your peace left, and the irritation and the offense kept coming, and you kept replaying it, and you made it bigger each time. Every time you told it, it became worse. All of the feelings, all of the things. What is God asking us to do? He's asking us to say, you know what, God? I'm going to scoop out the feelings and I'm going to give them to you. God, I give up my right to feel so dang negative about this person that I can't be useful in their life. A lot of the people that you are so darn mad at, you're one of the few people in their life that can actually help them. Get a hold of what I'm trying to tell you. The people that have hurt you the most, that have irritated you the most, that have betrayed you the most, I promise you, you're one of the very few people in their life that can actually help them. Y'all stand to your feet. You're going to have a blessed week. I believe you're going to have a prosperous week, but you're going to have to make your mind up that that's how it's going to go. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every single person. God, I thank you that they get home safely tonight. Lord, I thank you that when they lay down to go to sleep tonight, that God, the peace that you have, Lord, it begins to wash over every single thought, every single problem, every single breakdown in their family. God, the things that we need your help on, Lord, I thank you that you're already there. God, it's not a matter of you coming and helping the situation. Lord, you're already there. So God, give us the peace that we can just rest. In Jesus' name, amen.